I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Plunto.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, January 30th, 2017.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a busy weekend. The Trump presidency instituted a ban against people from certain countries, the so-called Muslim ban, because it targets people from predominantly Muslim countries.
Right.
And, you know, that's inspired protests, not as big as last weekend's.
Women's March.
Yeah, but still protests nonetheless in various airports. Shit's getting real, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, seriously, it's getting...
It's like day nine or ten, and here we are.
And this is the drama that's ensued. It's like a nightmare.
But what did people expect, though? Did they expect that, you know, it was going to be, you know...
Well, it's like, you know,
him in the White House grabbing, you know, women's pussies and things like that?
Well, I'm sure there's still some of that happening. But, you know, I think we had hope. Not hope, but optimism. We had some optimism here, right? I knew he was a hot mess. But to this degree, I don't know. It's like we expected it, but it's actually crazy. Like, it doesn't seem like it's real life.
Yeah.
It's just appalling. He's clearly, these are hate crimes, essentially, that he's committing by banning people from certain countries based on really religious views.
The hate crime part, I think that's more the situation that's happening in Quebec late last night with a shooting at a mosque that killed at least mm-hmm. five people, I think, at last count.
Yeah.
That's a real hate crime. I mean, I don't think...
That's absolutely a hate crime. And, some have said an act of terrorism. It's absolutely not an act of terrorism.
You don't think it is?
It's a hate crime, I guess, maybe coming from.
People on Twitter late last night were saying, no, this is definitely terrorism. If it was, say, a Muslim who did that at a church or something, people would think it was.
So I guess I can retract that. It is an act of terrorism, yes, but
it's early in the morning when we're doing this Monday morning. I suspect that whoever's responsible for the shooting at a mosque was not, say, a refugee or something like that. You know what I mean? Right?
No.
I probably, without fear of successful contradiction, I would say it's a white guy who did that.
Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah.
And that's the fucked up thing, is because it's usually some white guy.
They won't call it terrorism, or right?
And it's like, okay, call it what you want, but it's a racial hate crime. These are not the refugees that you're trying to stop from coming into your country that are doing this.
Yeah.
So, I'm also shocked by the amount of people that think that these things happen in Canada. You know, the amount of people that I saw posting, like, I didn't think that this happened here. It's like, where are you living? Like, what rock have you been living under for the last, I don't know, 20 years? It happens here, and it happens quite a lot. It may just not be as highly publicized as it is, in the States, but it definitely does happen.
I guess what really surprises people, but back to Trump for just a sec, is everyone thought, you know, he was a buffoon on the campaign trail, you know, a goof,
right.
That he was going to be presidential. Now that he's been in office 9-10 days, the way that he's run things, hasn't been moderate at all. And so I think people that were thinking that he was going to be sort of like a Democrat, a lot of people, serious people, thought that he would, right? I mean, if you look at his, I mean, you look at that 60 Minutes interview after he won the election, I mean, he did think that some aspects of Obamacare were going to stay in. So, I mean, and socially, he is a, you know, he's more of a Democrat than he is a Republican. But I guess it's the people around him that I think are thinking up all these things, like the Muslim ban. Like,
I don't know. Is it, though?
Oh, it is. I mean, you look at the pictures. You look at Steve Bannon standing there.
But we don't. Does he have anybody that's advising him?
Yeah, Steve Bannon and the people from Breitbart, you know, these alt-right people.
Well, he's out of control. You still have a level of, I guess, control, essentially, and you do have some input. Suggest what they want, but you can still say no. I don't know. Like, I don't understand.
Well, maybe he thinks these things. Maybe he thinks these things himself.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He has to in order to actually put it into action.
Yeah, I guess we're looking for some of the moderate people. I mean, Jared Kushner, compared to Steve Bannon, is a more level-headed person than, say, you know, some of these other right-wing.
These guys are all power tripping.
You know.
And the whole country is, I mean, the country, the world is being affected.
Well, we'll see in 7 days what else, you know, maybe
what
he will
come up next.
Maybe he will change. Do you watch any of those Screen Actors Guild Awards on Sunday night?
I didn't watch them, but I, you know, like, I've seen all the Instagram posts from people, so that it looks like it's, you know, there's been some, all the people that I think we kind of talked about loosely have all...
Yeah, they all got their awards.
Got their awards.
Yeah, I mean... People look to the Screen Actors Guild Awards because they're the most reliable predictor in terms of who will be nominated for Oscars.
Right.
Much more so than, say, the Golden Globe Awards.
And if that's the case, then we've been quite accurate, or you have anyway, in your prediction.
But it just threw a wrench into the thing because some of the people that like Denzel Washington, for example...
Right.
He was nominated he's been nominated for everything for the film Fences, but I don't think he was considered to be a front runner. They thought Casey Affleck was going to be, but I guess because of...
He's got some pending...
Personal problems.
Issues.
Yeah. That blooms off that rose.
Well, we can't, you know, they've got no room for any more protesting.
Yeah.
So... May as well just not even bring that up.
Yeah.
Casey Affleck.
So, so that's about it. But the other thing that you posted something on Facebook a couple weeks back that I thought was interesting. Because I'd seen other people post this as well. And it's, if you have children, I don't have children, you do, you have two, you ask them these questions. It's like sort of a quiz, right?
Yeah.
So what were the questions that you asked your kids?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, so I'm actually just trying to look for the quiz again. But essentially, there were questions like, you know, what's a word that I say a lot?
Yeah.
Who's my best friend?
And then this is about you, and then these would be their answers, right?
And their answers.
So it surprised you what they thought of you?
Some of it. Some of it, but I mean, what surprised me is actually like, wow, they actually do hear a lot of what I say. So I think it just made me more, you know, aware of how I speak around them.
So kids do listen, right? And they pick up on cues and things like that.
They do listen when it's, when it works for them. So here's some of the questions I ask them. What makes me happy? What makes me sad? Asking, you know, my age. So I'll give you some of their answers.
Okay.
What's something I say a lot? I mean, honestly, some of the answers I couldn't put in here, but the first thing they both said was fuck. Huh. And I was like, wow, really? I don't know. But I guess I do. But they said also bye, Felicia, and wow.
Also, you'd say bye, Felicia.
To them, huh. Yeah. Huh. Or wow, yeah. That's a typical thing. What makes me sad is when my shows don't record on the PVR. They see that. They know that that causes great disdain in my life. I asked them how tall I am. Simone, she's, you know, almost 14. She says 5'9".
Yeah.
Sophia, who's 8, says that I'm 8 feet tall.
It would seem like with that, yeah, because
I guess
she's
so
not.
For her, that's yeah. About how tall I am.
Are you really 5'9"?
Close.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, in my dreams, I think in real actual life, I'm like 5'7".
Well, she must be. I haven't seen her in a while, but she's about five. She's about your height now, isn't she?
She's about my height, yeah. So I don't like that at all.
Yeah, well.
Let's see. What's something else? How do you annoy me? Sophia says that not cleaning up my room and always asking for stuff.
Hmm.
Oh, this is the best one. We had a good laugh about this. Do you think you could live without me? Simone says right away, yes. Sophia says no. And I said this answers question number 9, which was, do I have a favorite child?
There you go. Yeah.
So, yeah, they're clearly, you know, they're little shits, but they're funny. Little shits, yeah. So Simone says she could live without me. And we were talking today about our music. Sophia's music teacher was just saying they own a condo, but they rent it out.
Yeah.
And they live with his wife's mother because she's elderly. You know, she's old.
Yeah.
And Simone says, right, she's like, oh, am I going to have to, like, live with you when I'm older? And I said, what, no, like, you don't have. She's like, can I just put you in, like, a really nice retirement home?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's got to be, like, really nice, like, you know. And so my best friend, grandma is in a retirement home, and I said, well, it has to be nicer than the place that Lola's in, because I want, you know, I want, like, a pool, I want activities, I'd like that there's other good-looking elderly men there, so wherever that happens to be, I want at least a visit twice a week. She's like, oh, my God, like, I'm working, how am I going to pay for that and visit you? And Sophia's like, I'll visit you, Mommy. Like, yeah, I know you will. So I said, Simone, you're scaled back to one visit. Sophia gets two. I only want to see you once a week. Just letting you know now. Just so that's clear while I'm still, you know, not senile and all that.
Yeah, and then you could actually make decisions.
Well, yeah, I would say exactly. So I want to clarify these things. I don't want any of this bullshit. Put me in some, you know, broken, dilapidated care home and say, well, you know, you never clarified what you wanted. No, I've been very clear about what my expectations were. So, you know.
So you're fine going to a home, because most people would say, oh, no, I'd like to stay in my own home and be looked after there.
Oh, no. Well, that's what she said. She said, you know, would you want somebody to come and take care of you? And I said, well, not really, because, even in my state now, I don't like people coming into my home and, like, you know, in my stuff and whatnot. I just feel like as I get older, that thing is probably just going to be even worse.
Hmm.
And I may just do better in a nice hotel for old people, you know.
Yeah, most of the unless you see them, like, say, on Marketplace where they're, you know, the hidden camera, they're beating the old people.
Exactly. Well, you know, Simone has seen those, so of course she's like, well, I don't want. And I said, no, I would definitely cut somebody. Like, I would not let that happen. That's not happening.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But, you know, there's nice places out there. Would you ever consider that? Would you put yourself in a home or your parents?
I really don't know. I that's not something I've really thought about. Like, for myself, I don't know if I would. I mean, I've got so much stuff that I'd hate to think that I'd have to get rid of it. Because, I mean, no nursing home's going to take all this stuff that I've got.
Well, no, you're the exact person that should be put away then, definitely, with all that stuff. You have a propensity to turn into a hoarder as an old man, and that's no good. So.
Yeah, no, I haven't really thought of these things, so I don't know. I guess a part of me thinks I'm old enough now that I will have to think about these things soon.
Well, you're like invincible, right? We think like that.
Maybe. I'd like to think that or I just think that it'll sort itself out when the time comes.
Well, that's what we think, but you've experienced yourself lately.
I've been to two funerals in like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Right, and people got to do the planning for that.
Yeah, it's interesting because one of the funerals was totally unexpected. The person died in their sleep and was not like ill. And then the second death was it was a month and a half or so, and people had time to fly in and see and be with the family and the sort. So regardless, I mean, even if you have, say, a long-term diagnosis of 2-3 years, and I've talked to enough people on the show over the years who are work in hospice or work in counseling, you can never really be prepared for death or life itself, right?
No, and that's the thing, you said, regardless if it's a long-term diagnosis that, people have had, and I use very lightly, prepared for, or something, an unexpected event that happens in something like this sleep. And I've experienced both myself within the last 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, just as a whole, it's never easy to deal with. For me, anyway, I just find it really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that are just really, I don't know, not confusing to me, but there's no real answers, right? It's like, what do you do? What are you supposed to do? Is there a way that you're supposed to act and how you're supposed to carry on in life? And I don't know.
Just the paperwork. Too, right? I mean,
everything that goes with it. I just, there's so many technicalities, paperwork. My grandparents are still here, touch wood, but they're not getting any younger, right?
Mm-hmm.
So mentally, I feel like I'm trying to prepare, but I know the reality is I'll never be fully prepared for that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Death is just a weird thing for me to deal with. I can discuss like a lot of other things, but death is one topic, especially lately, has been very.
And do you think it's because you're getting older yourself? I mean, we both turned 35 this year.
Yeah.
That's middle age for both people who died about middle age.
Yeah. I don't even know. I'm not. I don't know. Do I fear death for myself? Not right now. But I try and live healthy, so that I don't bring it on any faster than it needs to be. But I do fear about fear for death for the others around me, especially my aging relatives.
Yeah, yeah.
And that for me is like. I don't know that it's the death itself that I fear. It's more of how I'm going to react to it and internalize it and deal with it.
So you've got kids, so your concerns, your priorities are a lot different than mine. If I got hit by a bus tomorrow, I wouldn't enjoy it, I'm sure. But I wouldn't leave life today, because I don't have kids.
With anything left
behind.
What
I mean? Yeah. But I mean, I do people around me. Sure, yeah. I mean, it's funny because we talk about TV shows on the show a lot. Like, if I had died before Mad Men finished, I probably would have regretted that, because I wanted to know what happened at the end, or Downton Abbey. I remember at a movie theater, I mean, some of the old people, actually, this is someone on Twitter said this, that they overheard an older person walk out of the recent James Bond movies and said, well, I hope I'm around when the next one comes out.
Oh, wow.
So, you mean, you know, I would hate to miss those things. I mean, I don't have kids, so I'm not going to, you know, I won't have milestones in their life to miss, but I guess if you're a solitary person like I am, you just don't have those concerns, I suppose.
I guess so. I mean, yeah, it's just all very different. I know when my ex-father-in-law passed away last year, I think the hardest part was telling the kids, actually.
And then how did they deal with it? My uncle who died recently, who died last week, a week and a half ago, and his funeral was just a few days ago, he has grandkids who are 8, mm-hmm. 6, 5, and 2. I don't know. It affected them, but I don't think it affected them as much as, say, it affected their parents.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I know when their grandmother died, mm-hmm. Which was maybe 2 years earlier, Simone was, you know, they were sad, but again, she had a long-standing illness, and they were kind of prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, Simone was sad, but to be honest, she doesn't speak about it much.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't, I mean, she was sad, but I think when their grandfather passed, shockingly, when I told them, Sophia seemed to react the worst, which is what I was not prepared for.
Mm.
And Simone was really sad, and I could see that in her face, but she doesn't. I mean, she didn't outwardly cry. She did tear up a bit, but I think she was more just trying to be supportive for Sophia.
And the rest of the family, right?
Yeah, and for everybody else, right? We went to the funeral, and she was fine. And I think what's important is just constantly having, like, happy memories about him that we talk about.
Yeah.
It's like, and yeah, I mean, physically he has passed, but spiritually, he doesn't have to leave us, right?
Yeah.
And I think even Sophia mentioned that after she had her little breakdown, she was like, you know, Papu's always watching us. And I've never told her that, so, you know,
I guess this goes back to the quiz. Kids know stuff.
Yeah.
Without their parents realizing.
Without us prompting. Yeah. So we have to really, really appreciate them for who they are, and not take them for granted, right? These kids are smarter than we think sometimes, and it's like we just got to let them go through the motions as I think any other human would. Some people I know, my grandma was like, you know, that you maybe you should put them in counseling, and it's like just, you know, slow the train.
Mm-hmm.
They might not need that. We don't know, right?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be learning from them. Who knows? But, yeah, again, we just talk about our positive memories with both the grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you should do with your uncle and, you know, these others that have passed. I often, even the other day, looked back at some photos of a younger person that we went to high school with and that had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went and, you know, looked at some pictures just to not think about it even in a sad way,
yeah.
But just to remember the person that they were.
Yeah, and it's funny how because 2016 had a lot of these celebrity deaths, and this past week a lot of us have been talking about Mary Tyler Moore. And it's interesting. I was going to say funny. If someone did a quiz for me, I would say funny a lot, when really it's not hilarious.
But
yeah,
it's
no,
interesting.
Yeah, Mary Tyler Moore is someone that for a lot of people, have a lot of memories of.
Right.
You know, and none of us have met her.
No, but right? It feels like you're, like, BFFs.
Yeah. We all think of her on either her own show or the Van Dyke show or in various films. And
And
I guess that's one of the interesting things when celebrities do die, just how much everybody talks about them and what they meant.
The impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, unfortunately, that's what it takes. But I think it's good to reminisce on those things sometimes, right?
Yeah. For some, like Elvis, for example, that was a great career move that he died.
Hey, I think made him a little bigger than he was, right?
Yeah, it made his family a lot more money, yeah.
It did.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is the thing about doing this every week, is we don't know what will happen next week. And I think in the Trump era, it's a lot more urgent, isn't it?
You know? Shit. Well, who knows? I mean, for God's sakes, I was worried yesterday. I have friends that are, Iranian-born and travel over there quite a bit to compete and such, and this would have been quite a blow to their careers. So, you know, who's to say what transpires in the next 7 days, but hopefully we'll still be around to report about it. So, we'll be chatting about it. We're not there yet.
Yeah. I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, that's Two Peas in a Podcast from Monday, January 30th, 2017.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.